You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 367. Echoes happened over the weekend. Randall was there along with Tony. We're going to discuss that. Even though Notre Dame's not going to bowl game, a lot of other teams are, and we're going to have a little competition going on with Bowl Mania from ESPN that gives you a chance to win $25 Amazon gift card. There was a new commit, and the biggest news of the day and of the week is definitely DeShone Kizer, no surprise, announced that he will be going to the NFL.
Yeah, it's no surprise at all. We had heard a couple things last week that pretty much confirmed that. And so even though he was announced as a captain, that didn't make any difference in his decision.
Okay, and you're talking about he was announced as a captain at Echoes. So let's just start. Let's start with Echoes. Echoes 2016. Randall, you were there, and it really is a cool experience to be at. I couldn't make it this year. But it is fun, and it is a cool experience for sure.
Yeah, it was a good time. They did raise the ticket prices this year, and so maybe it didn't seem like there was. I don't know what the reason was for raising the ticket prices, because obviously they have this stadium paid off, and they have all that. But I think it was just to make it more of a classy. They don't want just anybody showing up. They want people that are serious about, you know, want to pay. It was $50 to get in. I think last year, what was it, 10, 11 bucks, something like that?
I'm not sure what it was last year, but it used to be really cheap.
So now, you know, everybody's walking around. Everybody had a suit coat on, but you don't see anybody walking around in jeans and a T-shirt, which would have been like that other years. But it was a good time. I mean, the players are there. You can talk with some of them. The recruits are off limits. They're kind of in a room by themselves.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
They were paraded in with their families and whoever they brought along on the visit, and were in a room by themselves, and nobody had access there. So everybody, you know, that's who people want to talk to. Even the media guys, they're all standing outside and trying to figure out how they could somehow get in there. But
so you did get a chance to chat with a number of Notre Dame players. And maybe you don't want to go through each of them, but what were some of the highlights that you discussed?
Well, one thing, I did talk with Nico Fertitta about his hit against USC. And
where he was ejected. It was in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
But they finally reviewed it, a potential targeting call, and they found him guilty. And so he was ejected in the second half, which if this would have been in the season, for sure would have meant that he would be sitting out the first half of the next game.
Yeah, he said he thinks he'll have to sit out the first half of the Temple game, but he's gonna try to appeal that. I'm not sure what all goes into that, but you know, to him, he said it was a bad call, and he would do that all over again. If he had the chance, he would do it again. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do, and he felt good making the hit, and obviously the coach are telling him it was a good hit. But yeah. Had a good talk with him. Some other guys, we did talk to Troy Pride. He was kind of panicking a little bit, didn't know what to do with his coat. He had a thick winter coat, and obviously it was warm inside, but he wasn't used to this cold weather at all. And I actually told him, well, you could go check in his coat. He was just holding it and didn't know what to do with it. We were like, hey, well, you could just go check it in like everybody else. So he did go do that, but he literally had no clue what to do with a winter coat.
up in the north, where there's coat rooms or closets.
But yeah, he was just talking about the defensive backs, and he said there's obviously going to be a lot of competition next year, but that's what he wants. And he's planning to run track. He said he did get approved for that, and he's planning to run track. He says he's been a little out of shape, hasn't been running as much lately, but he's planning to get back into shape to run some track for Notre Dame.
So you talked to a handful of players, so far two defensive backs. Did you at all asked them if they're kind of looking forward to the new defensive coordinator, or did you at all?
No, we didn't really go into any of that. Yeah, I mean,
were spirits pretty high, though? I mean, were they pretty excited about
Yeah, they're all pumped about next year. That's the good thing. It's not like they're down about it. They know they can. One of them said, you know, they can only go up from here. You know, it's just going to get better. But yeah, they were out there having fun. They had the gold carpet, as they called it. They were driving around on a motorized wheelchair, like the ones you have at Walmart. And then they shaved off Mark Harrell's beard. He was looking pretty scraggly. He came in with like sweatpants, and I saw him walk in. I was like, man, what's going on? He's not dressed up like anybody else. And then they shaved him, and then they put him in a tux and a bow tie, and he looked like a completely different guy. It was definitely good. They did make fun of his beard.
So is this a tradition where one year or they're going to pick a guy to shave?
No, not necessarily. This was Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report was in charge of all this, making videos, and a lot of the videos are floating around out there.
Okay.
This was all Bleacher Report. They did have a boxing match. Nico Fertitta and Bon Jovi had a match. It was oversized clothes. I was a little disappointed with that, but Brian Kelly was the ref. So they were out there having fun, and it seemed like the guys enjoyed it. The award ceremony, I mean, obviously it's a little bit different when you're 4-8 compared to when you're 10-3 like last year. So, you know, some of the you know, they make fun of different things during the season, and they're not quite as funny because you were 4-8. They did get after Mike McGlinchey. They were like, here's Mike McGlinchey's replays from this year, and they basically showed every false start. And then Jack Collinsworth walks out on the stage again and throws the yellow flag out. So,
Jack Collinsworth?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was the host, main guy for the show. But yeah, it was still a good show. When Jack Swarbrick came out, he said he was a little bit late. He said he was catching up on the back issues of the Observer. And another good comment was Greg Hudson. He came out to award the Defensive Newcomer of the Year, and he was like, he actually thinks he should win this award, which he would have a good case for that, but it was for the players. So it was still a good show. There was some awkward moments when you were like trying to decide if you know if this is supposed to be funny or
awkward, where maybe like it wasn't as much of a joke as a slam.
It was almost a it almost hurt too much to even laugh at it.
It was cringy.
Yeah, but
well, tell us what moment was cringy.
Well, I'd say the most awkward moment was the announcing the captains at the end. Like, people didn't know what to do.
Okay.
You would have expected everybody to be cheering, you know, hey, these guys are named captains. People had no clue what was going on. People were like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Is this a way that Kaiser's announcing what his decision is? You know, it was just, I don't know.
Who are the 2016 captains named here at the 2016 Echoes?
Well, there were 7 of them named, and obviously Deshaun Kaiser was one of them. You can take him off the list. Those would be Mike McGlinchey, Quentin Nelson, Niles Morgan, Drew Tranquil, Greer Martini, and Austin Webster, which Austin Webster is the first walk-on to ever be named a captain. So it's kind of, I don't know. Honestly, I think Brian Kelly did this his first year here. They named him in the winter, well, when he got there.
I don't remember that.
Did it stay the same then?
Were they the captains of the upcoming of the season then?
Well, I believe it was Michael Floyd and Harrison Smith, and then Michael Floyd got arrested.
Okay, yeah.
So that kind of changed, and yeah, so there was a little bit of drama around it then. I mean, some stuff did happen the off season, and I honestly think it's a good idea because, you know, these guys are coming back. The question has been, you know, who's going to be the leaders on the team? They're getting ready to go into winter workouts, spring off season, and that's when players need to step up and take leadership and maybe make some changes. And they said, you know, I've even heard the comment that, you know, some of these players, you kind of expect them to know who to go to, but these new guys come in, they don't necessarily know who to go talk to and ask.
Here, I want to play devil's advocate. Now, I do agree with you. It's good to kind of know who your leaders are in the winter. However, that's often in the winter and summer workouts is typically when the coaches are looking and the players are either trying to step up and become leaders, or the coaches are watching to see who is stepping up to become a leader. So what if it's totally different guys? What if these aren't the guys that are actually the leaders, but they're the captains?
Here's
so I'm just a little bit of devil's advocate.
Yeah,
I think I like this because I do think that they need direction throughout the whole year.
Here's the thing: you're not going to have a freshman as a captain. So all the candidates are on the team now, and I'm guessing the players had a say in this as well. Usually, the players do vote on this and have a say in it. And so, to me, the coaches should already have a good idea of who those leaders can be. I mean, they should every year. If it's so unknown, if right now you have no clue who the captains are going to be, then you're going to have issues. Like, you should have a good idea by now. Yeah, I agree. You know, some things might change. But I think even last season, they needed guys to step up, and they weren't sure who was going to. And they kind of, Brian Kelly challenged them, you know, guys to step up, and they did. But then it was already fall camp. I think in doing this, I like it. I mean, I think these guys can step up and be leaders for the entire off season.
I wonder, do other schools do this? Do they have, maybe if not official captains, do they have winter workout guys who are in charge during the spring camp and winter workouts and all that?
I don't know. Usually there's guys that step up and take leadership, and those, you know, will probably end up being your captains.
So let's go through that again. So Deshaun Kizer was named. He's going to the NFL.
Yeah.
So the other guys are
Mike McClinchy.
Okay.
Which he would be 2 years. Then you have Quentin Nelson, another offensive lineman. Niles Morgan. And Morgan said he's definitely coming back next year. So take the NFL out of the picture there. He said he's coming back. And Drew Tranquil. And then Greer Martini, Austin Webster.
The walk-on thing, I think, is to those guys have a voice in the room, probably, and so that they have someone to go to.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
He's a candidate to get the next scholarship.
Maybe. I mean, while I do think it's kind of... I don't think it will have an effect on the football team next year as far as on the field productivity. I do think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I still don't like the fact. I had an issue when Matthias Farley was named a captain, just because I think the captain needs to be able to play.
Matthias Farley, who was playing in the NFL, that Matthias Farley?
Yes, but he was not a starter. I don't really like the fact. McClinchy, Nelson, Morgan, Tranquil, yeah, you can do those. Those guys are going to be starting. Martini, Webster, I don't think Martini will be a full-time starter.
Webster, okay, don't put Webster in there. Because
I guess
clearly,
that's a completely different level.
It's completely different, yeah. But Martini and even Drew Tranquil might not be a starter next year.
Yeah, see, those two, I just don't like it when they're not the leaders on the field, too. I understand.
And while I see your point, I do somewhat disagree, because I don't think the leaders are always the best players. It's best when they are. But I'd rather have a good leader be the captain than the best player who potentially sucks at leading.
I agree. But you have plenty of candidates. You don't need to have...
Who are your other candidates?
No, I'm saying you have six captains.
You don't need that many. Well, they're probably expecting some to drop off as the summer gets going.
Well, I'm saying it's not like you're down to two and you're trying to decide who, you know, the second one's going to be.
Yeah. But who? Okay, let's say you keep that number. Maybe for some reason they wanted, is it six, seven guys that they started out with, and then now it's done six.
Yeah.
So maybe they wanted three guys on offense, three guys on defense, and then one on special teams. So who are you going to pick from the defense beside the ones that are chosen? Now I think we're both. Niles Morgan is for sure a starter, a stud, and you're fine with that kind of a pick where he's the man.
Yeah.
But your problem is with Greer, who wasn't a full-time starter last year, and Drew Tranquil, he was a full-time starter last year.
Tranquil, I don't mind that one because he is a leader, and he did start all of year. I expect him to be a starter next year, maybe at linebacker.
That's where I think it's more likely to start that not, linebacker.
I think he'll be starting somewhere on the field. So, yeah. But, hey, but at least it shows, doing this, it shows that Brian Kelly's trying to do things different.
Yeah. Hey,
they're trying
true.
New things.
But
you might think it's something small.
But you can't come up with another name, though, that you would say for sure a starter.
On the defense?
Yeah. I mean, I think Devin Studstill, definitely, I mean, I would expect definitely he's going to be a starter next year. But he's only going to be a sophomore. And has Brian Kelly ever had a sophomore captain? I don't think he has.
I don't think so.
So you're looking at guys who are juniors who are for sure going to be starters.
They're young guys.
And there's not a lot out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the NFL grades. So Kaiser's gone, but there was a couple other guys who requested NFL grades. McGlinchey, Niles Morgan, and it was Quentin Nelson, correct?
Yeah.
So do we know, did those guys get their grades back?
I think they'll get them this week. But you're down to Nelson. McGlinchey's coming back. Kaiser's gone. And Morgan's said back. He's coming back. And Nelson, I would be very, very surprised if he leaves. I mean, he's got to have a very, very good grade for him to go. And today, in an Instagram post, you know, he was saying, hey, it was great playing with you, Kaiser. And he said he's going to miss blocking for him on Saturdays. And you could take that as, you know, obviously neither one of them will play Saturdays. But from what it looked like, I honestly don't expect him to go.
Well, I was thinking maybe these guys already do have their grades back.
Not that I know of.
Is the direction I was going.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Anything else from... Should we go through the winners of the different awards that were handed out at Echoes?
I'll go through some of them. The Defensive Newcomer of the Year was Niles Morgan. I mean, that's no surprise. Alex Bars was the Offensive Newcomer of the Year.
Alex Bars?
Yeah.
Okay, because they don't give the same award out. If you win an award, you don't get two awards pretty much, because Equanimeous St. Brown would have got that award. Yes.
I don't know.
Offensive newcomer, who was bigger and newer than EQ?
You might be right. I don't know. I don't know how they do that. That could easily be, but...
Because at least in past years, they would have an offensive player of the year, a defensive
player.
He
was supposed to be,
and then also an MVP.
Yeah. Well, EQ was the offensive player of the year, but he was the newcomer. James Anawalu was the defensive player of the year. Greer Martini was next man in, which that makes sense. And Kaiser was team MVP, which I think the team voted on that one.
Okay.
They do vote on that. And then, you know, there were some other... Rochelle was lineman of the year. Then there's some other, you know, off-field awards. Tyler Newsom. You got the Irish Around the Bend award. Ben Sutman and Jonathan Jones were the scout team players of the year. So Jonathan Jones, I still expect big things out of him. I think he's going to be a good linebacker at Notre Dame. But he got credit for playing on the scout team this year. And the Rockne Student Athlete Award was Drew Tranquil, which he's an All-American. I'm totally blank. But the academic All-American. Nobody got two, so you're probably right as far as one guy not getting more than one. But... Yeah, it was a good show. I definitely say if you get a chance to go, definitely go next year. And
long of a show is it? 2 hours?
The whole thing, I think we got there at like 6:30 and we left at like 10 o'clock, I think.
Oh wow, okay. So it's
for a while you just mill around, you eat food, you talk to people, everybody's just kind of milling around. The players are doing, you know, their Bleacher Report stuff, and then I think the actual show was almost two hours. But there was snow on the ground. It was cold, and there was the recruits talked to them a little bit after. I mean, you probably saw the picture of Dylan Gibbons. He was standing out in the snow in shorts, no shirt on. He's coming from Florida, and it doesn't look like the cold weather is going to affect him. So that's definitely a good sign.
A lot of guys, I mean, I think the weather does affect some people, but for a lot of them, they realize that, hey, it's for a few years, and I think a lot of guys look forward to different weather. And that could also work for guys going from the north, going down to the south where it's always warm too.
The one thing I look at is, we look at it as, oh, you only play a couple games and football games in the snow. You know, it's not that bad. These guys are going to school in the snow.
Yeah, but it's like you working in the snow.
I know, but it's not just football.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm saying when I look at it, I'm like, oh, how bad can it be? They just have to play a couple games in the snow. But no, in reality, they're there all winter. So.
Yeah, but it's still just for a few years.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They better get used to it, because what if you do go to the NFL? What if you get drafted by the Packers?
Yeah.
Then you will suffer your whole... You will have a miserable career.
New England gets hammered.
You will have a miserable career getting... I would not want to play for the Packers just because of the cold. But then, hey, you have an advantage.
Before we go on, Notre Dame did pick up a new recruit, but I wanted to mention our ESPN Bowl Mania game. We had some confusion last year with which group to sign up with, and the group that you want is without spaces, Irish Sports Talk. No spaces. I tweeted out a link to it so you can find it, and it's also on Facebook if you're over there, and I'll probably tweet out again in a day or two. It does start in 4 days is the first game, 4 or 5 days, so it's coming up here pretty quick. Enter to win. You'll win a $25 Amazon gift card.
As far as the students and the guys, you know, asking about the weather, they have finals this week, and then they get to go home for basically a month. So the guys live in Florida get to go home to Florida for a month, California, but they do get a break. So I think they're all excited about that.
Speaking of taking a break, unless there's breaking news, we'll also be taking a break because I will also be traveling to warmer weather for about a month.
Such a slacker, Ruben.
Not quite, but I will be taking a little vacation. And so unless there's breaking news, we probably won't do a podcast until the second Monday in January. So it's going to be a long, cold remainder of December for you guys. But, you know, it actually works out. I mean, if Notre Dame would be in a bowl game, we would be doing this, you know, how we had been doing it through this season. So, in a way, I'm not glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not glad Notre Dame's not in a bowl. But it is a relief that I don't have to do a podcast every few days while I'm on vacation. So, Notre Dame picked up a new commit, offensive lineman, 4-star. And he's an early enrollee. Do you think that last year when the offensive lineman from Ohio, obviously Parker Boudreau from Florida, and then
Eichenberg, Kramer
and Eichenberg, you know, those are three pretty highly recruited offensive linemen, and it did seem like maybe they actually were getting close to playing time, never quite made it, and I don't think they will. I don't think there will be a guy who starts unless there's a slew of injuries for Notre Dame at the offensive line position. But
as a freshman?
Yeah, as a freshman. Okay. Yeah. Do you think that, and I didn't even say his name.
Aaron Banks.
Do you think that he's different? Do you think he could come in? He's an early enrollee, but do you think he could come in?
No, not with the guys that they have. Not with the returning starters on the offensive line. Then you do have Eichenberg and Kramer that are going to be pushing for playing time. But Aaron Banks is a huge player. He's 6'7". 315 pounds. He was up to like 340 something, but I guess Harry Hiestand had told him that he would have some more success if he did lose some weight for his, you know, his senior year, and he did that, and he was down to 315, I guess. But it's a big guy. He had narrowed his list down to 7 teams, and he didn't tell anybody where he was going. Supposedly made his decision 2 weeks ago, but he didn't even tell his mom.
Hold it.
So the night before, she didn't even know. And he was down to Cal, Nebraska, Michigan, Oregon, UCLA, Tennessee, and Notre Dame. And honestly, I just didn't really expect him to pick Notre Dame just because of how the season went. It doesn't seem like, I mean, it's going to be hard to get these top guys to commit to Notre Dame. But he did decide on Notre Dame. He's an early enrollee, so he'll be in school here in a couple weeks. 1st of January, he'll be at school. So definitely a good thing for Notre Dame. This is the 4th offensive lineman in this class. And it's looking to be a really good class. I mean, they got Lugs, Hainsey, and Banks that are all 4-stars. And you got Gibbons, which is a 3-star. And Lugs is going to be a tackle. Hainsey and Gibbons, you know, would probably be a guard or center. And Banks could be a guard, but he could also play tackle. Notre Dame's kind of lacking guys at the tackle position. So who knows? It'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But, you know, he will have some time to they have some time to decide where he'll play. Now, my biggest concern with this is, yeah, he's a big guy, but Tony and I were talking about it, you know, at the Rivals the other night, at Echoes, how skinny these offensive linemen are. I mean, you see Mike McClinchy is a huge guy. I mean, he's just massive, but he's skinny. He doesn't have a gut on him, which I'm sure is nice for him, but I think Notre Dame has issues. That's why I think...
You think they get pushed around because they're too light up front?
Yeah. I mean, they've got the length.
I think
these guys need to bulk up, and we had a little bit of a discussion on the forum about this. You know, even, was it Nelson that was supposedly down to 280 during the season?
I forget which offensive lineman it was.
But Solon did point out that, you know, with all the injuries that Notre Dame has had, because I blame the strength and conditioning stat. I actually...
On some of the injuries that we've had the last few years.
I've mainly been injuries, but I think there have been issues with the strength and conditioning. And I actually think they should maybe add another guy. We've talked about this off air, but it might be a good idea to add another guy that will, you know, be in charge of, like, the linemen, offensive, defensive line, the bigger guys, mm-hmm. Get them to bulk up. It's a different story with the other guy. I mean, it's okay if you got a, you know, skinny cornerback with a six-pack, but your offensive linemen and your defensive linemen, I mean, look at the guys that go to the NFL. I mean, they all bulk up, but go look at Stephon Tuitt. Look at Zach Martin. Look what they do with these guys. But back to what I was saying with what Solon said is that he wonders if, you know, with all these injuries that they've had in the last couple years, they did change some things with the strength and conditioning, you know, how they work out, and they backed off a little bit, you know, and they're monitoring everything, all this and that. And even in practice, they weren't hitting each other like they had been. I mean, they did bring some of that back in after Brian Van Gorder left. They did start thudding players, and, you know, they did change some things, but maybe this is a result of all the injuries and trying to back off a little bit. My issue with all the injuries was that I think they were overworking, you know, not like Jerron Jones, you know, mm-hmm. had a leg injury, and then, you know, they're quickly trying to build it. Obviously, he can do upper body workouts, but then all of a sudden his lower body, he's got to catch up with his upper body, and they overwork, put too much strain and stress on, you know, ACLs, on your body,
yeah,
which would cause injuries. And some of them, you're still going to have fluke injuries, but whatever they did, they didn't have any injuries this year. They did back off, and it seemed to help, but now you have guys that are undersized.
But I thought this complaint about being undersized at the line was something over the last few years.
Yeah, I just didn't notice as much, I guess, as this year.
Just, and this isn't scientific necessarily, but Ronnie Stanley was listed at 315 on UND.com.
Okay.
As a senior, 315 pounds. On the Baltimore website, BaltimoreRavens.com, on their roster, he's listed at 320 pounds.
That's 5'9".
Now, that's... And that's also 1 year. I was trying to really quickly look up what Zach Martin, which kind of the difference there too.
The difference is, I mean, the NFL, you are going to ball. You can work out all the time instead of having to go to class. You can go, you know, there is, you are going to get bigger. You have different.
Better substance.
Yeah. I don't know, but they need to do something. And when we talk about things that have to change for the program to get better, that is one thing I have on the list is the strength and conditioning. They need to change something. I don't think it will. Paul Longo is Brian Kelly's buddy that they've been together for years, and he's followed him around. They're friends. The only way that they do is if they bring another guy in, add a guy to the staff, which I think could work. Bring in a guy that works with the linemen.
Yeah.
But these are the coaches that spend a lot of time with the players in winter workouts. You have these winter workouts. They have more access to the players than what the coaches do. So
I have been a very strong supporter of the strength and conditioning program. Not that I didn't have issues, needed to change. I just thought I just was in support as far as, well, they are changing things. Look at this here. And maybe this past year was the biggest change with doing the more technical monitoring that they've been doing. And so, but I am changing. My support isn't quite as strong as it had been, for sure. I'm definitely coming over to more on the side where you're at, where something maybe more, maybe personnel change needs to, or just maybe some, like you said, maybe some additional help. Okay.
Well, while we're talking about linemen, John Montelus had said he would transfer, and he is going to Virginia. So he's the first one of the transferees that announced where he's going. He'll play his fifth year at Virginia. Malik Zaire was at
Wisconsin
last week, and then I believe he was at North Carolina this weekend.
He did say that he liked it. He liked Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I do hope for him to have success. I do hope he goes to a team that has a solid defense, doesn't need him to carry the team, because I think that's where he's going to struggle. But if he goes to a team that has a good culture, that knows how to win, and is just looking for that missing piece behind center, I think he can be that guy, and they can win a lot of games.
Yeah. Haven't really heard anything from C.J. Holmes or
Corey Holmes.
Corey Holmes. C.J. Holmes is the recruit coming in. So we'll keep you updated on that. But this next week, this is starting today. There's a recruiting dead period now. Obviously, Notre Dame had a lot of guys on campus this weekend. As far as announcements, Thomas Graham is a defensive back that Notre Dame's been at for a long time. He was up here for Irish Invasion, or for Junior Day. I had talked with him then. He actually gave me his Starbucks drink that the barista had made a drink that was the wrong one. She gave it to them anyway. They didn't want it, so he gave me a Starbucks drink. So, before it had seemed he was going to pick Notre Dame this summer. Like, I've just figured he was going to be a guy that ended up at Notre Dame. It's not so sure now. He's announcing his decision on Friday. And he is enrolling early to whatever school he is going to. So hopefully Notre Dame, I mean, they did what they could. Now it's up to him to make a decision. Some other guys, Josh Pascal was the defensive end that was there. He's very interested in Notre Dame. And Jameer Calvin, another guy that was here that seemed that liked what he saw. But just getting these guys on campus, you know, here with other recruit guys that are committed. They had 10 of the 2017 commits were at the Echoes the other night, and there's one 2018. So that definitely helps having guys already committed to the school, having them there and talking with these guys, trying to get them. And the 2017 guys are doing a very good job at recruiting other players. I mean, they're going out there. You see a lot of action on Twitter from these guys trying to recruit other players to join them at Notre Dame. It was kind of funny. The first of the year, which Cal...
Go ahead, but there's some breaking news.
Well, Cal played the first college football game. I forget who they even played. But they had... I had tweeted out that the first reception of the college football season went to Demetrius Robertson, which it was. Former Notre Dame target from last year, you know, that went down to basically June till he had to show up at campus. Anyways, he must be thinking about Notre Dame again because just this last week he liked that tweet that I had sent out. Like
From months ago. From the first
September.
Game of the season.
Actually, it was the last. Yeah, it could have been September 1st.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was funny. All of a sudden, I get a notification that Demetrius Robertson liked your tweet, and it was from like a couple months ago. So maybe
it's weird that he would have went back that far and liked a tweet.
I know. Maybe he's feeling a little homesick.
Well, here's the breaking news, and I think Notre Dame fans, I think you'll like this. Wake Forest defensive coordinator Mike Elko is expected to interview for the Notre Dame defensive coordinator job early this week. And this is Bruce Feldman tweeted this out, and a source tells Fox Sports. So definitely that would be good news for Notre Dame if they could land Mike Elko for sure.
Yeah. But it's good to see. Like I expect this week Brian Kelly said he would be interviewing guys. And obviously Mike Elko is definitely at the top of the list. I mean, close to the top of the list of a hire that we could call a home run hire.
All right.
Obviously it's just an interview at this point.
Yeah.
But it's a start.
And I still believe that there will be at least two, besides the defensive coordinator, there will be two other assistant coaching positions that will change. And you might say, well, that's not nearly enough. But I think there definitely will be two changes.
I didn't make this prediction on the podcast. I'll just say it now. This is how I don't want to depress you, but this is how I think the next 2 years are going to play out. I do think next year Notre Dame is going to have a very good season. And everybody's going to be saying, oh, this isn't so bad after all. Things got turned around. Reason I think so is because you're going to have a new defense. Teams aren't going to have film. Obviously, they have film from another school if there's another, you know, defensive coordinator. But something new, you know, it happened with Brian Van Gorder came in 6 games. We were singing his praises with this amazing defense until teams started to figure it out and they ran into issues. So they'll have a new defense. They'll have a first-year starting quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, and Brian Kelly's record with a first year starter is 27-9, and without a returning quarterback he's 32-27. 27 or 22. I can't read my writing. I had it written down. Anyways, he's much better when he's a first year quarterback. So, and they have a lot of returning guys that got playing time. So everything is looking good for next year. They have a decent schedule. Then the following year, a lot of players are going to leave, or they have a chance to leave early. You're going to have a returning quarterback, or a returning starter.
Possibly, maybe not. Might have another first year starter.
And I think
that
year, and I think everybody's going to be wondering why we didn't get rid of Kelly this year. I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong too. And while I could see that happen, if Brian Kelly hires a good defensive coordinator, which I think Mike Elko is, Brian Van Gorder may have been a good defensive coordinator at some point, but when it was too complex, and it worked maybe in somewhat Notre Dame's favor, where it was complex enough that it took half a season for our opponents to figure it out, but our players never figured it out. So if it's a defense that it doesn't need to be a 2012 caliber defense, Diaco's defense, you know, it wasn't like that every year. The following year, I think they gave up close to 20 points per game, maybe even 22 points per game. But if they can assemble a defense that is consistently solid and that isn't based off gimmicks, but it's just based off sound playing, I think it can be good. And I don't think it'll be the kind of thing where, well, the opposing offense just got us figured out.
I guess my main point is the odds are, things are looking good for next year. I'm very optimistic about next year. I think it's going to be a good year.
Well, and define good year. I don't think it'll be another 4-8 year.
No, I'm going to say they win nine. Right now, I'm going to say they win 9 games.
Okay. And this is regular season.
And they're going to have a good running game.
What's going to be their regular season record?
For next year?
Yeah. So 9-3?
9-3.
Okay.
And they're going to, with the new quarterback, you have Josh Adams, Tony Jones Jr., Dexter Williams.
Maybe Folsom.
And they're going to run the ball. They're going to be good at it. Next year, they're going to be what you want to see.
I agree with you. I think, too, 9 wins is my prediction, too. If it's 8 wins, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for me. Real quickly.
That's double what you had this year, Ruben.
But this was just 1 year.
You asked for so much.
Real quickly, let's just touch again on the ads that were taken out in Notre Dame's paper, the Observer, and then there was one in the South Bend Tribune. And was it a week ago there was one in Indy?
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Okay, maybe it was wrong information.
They were trying to raise money.
Maybe it was just the South Bend Tribune one. But anyway, the best way, if you really want to change things, stop going to games. That if you're to the point where you think that it's not fixable with who is at the helm right now, stop going to games. That's where I'm at with the Colts. I'm not there with Notre Dame. With Notre Dame, I still think, well, I think partly I'm just a much bigger fan of Notre Dame football than I am of my NFL team. But if you want to make a difference, if the seats, if no one goes to games, things will change.
Yeah. I will say, you know, we went off about raising the money for the ad, which I still think is a terrible idea. Somebody did, I believe it was Rakes Report. They actually started a fund to raise money that went to, I'm not sure it was a homeless shelter, but they actually, for a good cause, instead of donating to an ad, donate here. And they raised a couple $1,000s last I checked. So some people, you know, did get it. But I still say to waste your money on a newspaper ad. Who cares? A newspaper ad is not going to change a thing. All you're doing is wasting your money.
Yeah. Okay. That's all we've got. It's going to be a cold few weeks. Yeah, Randall.
I was going to say Michael Floyd was arrested for DUI today. Or last night. One report I saw is say he fell asleep behind the wheel, so I'm not sure. But this isn't the first time we've heard that from Michael Floyd. So he's been having an up-and-down year. He'll have one game that's really good, and the other games he seems to get lost, and people are wondering if he has a future, you know, with the Cardinals. Kind of like,
what's happening? That bad?
Well, other guys, if he keeps doing that, other guys are going to step up and take his place. You can't do that in the NFL. Can't be a well.
You can't do that. Where
I was going to say Adron Jones, but I do think he did a lot better this year, but he still took some games off.
All right, thank you guys for listening. Throughout this week, do follow us on Twitter. We will be tweeting things out, and if news does break, we will do an emergency episode. So the next time that we talk will probably be 2017, so have a Merry Christmas, have a Happy New Year, and until then, and as always, go Irish.
Go Irish.